بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Canonical issues on gelatin. Inshallah, I want to go through a number of scenarios covering some Sharia related issues on gelatin. Now, there are many more scenarios and branches one can cover, but I want to go through five particular scenarios. And inshallah, in the future, one can cover more maybe. In the first scenario, the duty-bound Muslim encounters a particular food, and one in the ingredients section, one reads the term gelatin alone. Now here, many branches may arise from this. So we have a particular food. On the label, in the ingredients section, one reads gelatin. This is what this scenario wants to cover, where one only encounters the term gelatin. Nothing more, nothing less. Here, it's possible that one may know that the gelatin in this particular food is vegetative in origin, and one has certainty here. Now, that certainty can be acquired by a number of different ways, but assuming one knows and is certain that the gelatin in this food is vegetative in origin, if that's the case, then the gelatin would be deemed both tahir, being canonically pure, but not all things which are canonically pure are allowed to be consumed. But in this case, since the origin is vegetative, you know, it's a food which is, you know, vegetation originally, or it's come from a plant or something like that, in addition to being deemed canonically pure, tahir, it's also allowed to be consumed. It's permissible. It's jayiz to eat it. But sometimes one has a doubt, or one acquires doubt, as to whether, after reading the term gelatin at the back of the label of this particular food, one acquires doubt as to whether the origin of this gelatin is vegetative or it's of animal origin. Now here it's different a bit, because if it was vegetative, it would be allowed to it's allowed to be consumed. If it was of animal origin, there are different issues to be covered there, and we'll come to that. But here, there are two choices here. It's either vegetative, not choices, two parts to this equation, if you like. It's either vegetative or animal in origin. Now, what's the procedure of action here? Whenever, in relation to foods, we have two alternatives, and one of the two alternatives is halal and the other is not halal, or rather it's haram, whenever we encounter such an issue, the course of action is what we call in fiqh and the asalatul hilliya, the presumption of it being halal. And this principle is extracted from the texts, from the traditions, from the ahadith. Now, what this principle dictates is that whenever you encounter two possibilities, and one of the two possibilities in relation to a given food, one of the two possibilities is halal and the other isn't, and you don't know which one it is in relation to this specific food, you don't know if it's halal or if it's haram, you can presume it to be halal. Asalatul hilliya, the principle of being halal, if you like, the translation of asalatul hilliya. And this is what happens here, because you just read that the pack of pastels, for example, writes gelatin. You you have some doubt. You do deem it possible that it may be of a vegetative type. You deem it probable, albeit 10% probable, but that probability does exist within you. Also, it's probable that it may be of an animal origin, gelatin coming from, let's say, porcine gelatin, from a pig, for example, or from a cow that hasn't been slaughtered Islamically. And there are many other alternatives there too. But in this doubt of yours, one side of the equation, we have a halal possibility, and on the other side, we have a haram possibility. As long as the halal possibility exists, you can presume this food, which writes gelatin alone on its, you know, on its pack, you can presume that to be halal, and you can consume it. Now, does it matter which country you're in? Well, here, up to this point of what we've covered until now, it's irrespective where you are in the world, be it in a Muslim country or a non-Muslim country. Because even if you're in a non-Muslim country and you only read a gelatin on the pack, okay, the doubt is there. It may be vegetative. I mean, assuming someone has that doubt. Someone may not have this doubt. Let's not judge others, everyone to their own. It's something that duty-bound him or herself has to decide. They may have this doubt. It may be vegetative in origin, or animalistic in origin, of animal origin. Here, if such a doubt exists, and this doubt involves two sides to the equation, and one side is halal, and in this case, it being the vegetative side, the vegetative dimension to the issue. If that's the case, you can presume that gelatin to be halal and you can consume it, be you in a Muslim country or in a non-Muslim country. Here, it doesn't make any difference. The next question is, do you have to investigate the issue? For example, okay, it writes gelatin, I can now go and go through one or two sites, go and ask a few people, make a few calls, for example, do a bit of research. Do you have to investigate? Or can you just leave it to be and exercise asalatul hiliyah, this presumption of it being halal, without investigating the issue? Well, from a Sharia's point of view, you don't. There's no need to investigate. There's no obligation to investigate at all. The whole point of this principle of presumption of hiliyah, of being halal, is that you don't have to investigate. Now, if you want to investigate, that's another issue. I don't want to go through that now. But from a Sharia's point of view, you don't have to investigate. You read gelatin, as long as your doubt involves one part of, every doubt is between at least two things, and as long as one of those two things is halal, brings that halal possibility, without investigating the issue, you can presume it to be halal and therefore eat it. So there's no problem there. And then finally, is it better to refrain though in such a case? You have a doubt. It may be halal, it may be haram. Is it better to refrain from such a case? And the answer is yes. There's no doubt there. And we have traditions. Matters of the mushtabahat, umurun mushtabahat, things which are ambiguous, there's doubt involved in them. It may be halal, it may be haram. In this case, it applies here. It says gelatin, it may be of the vegetative type, it may be of the porcine, of the pig type. Is it better to refrain? The answer is yes. And actually, the traditions speak of this and define it as a certain caliber of taqwa, and it's very good. After all, spirituality is a function of one's intentions, okay? Spirituality is a function of one's intentions. One's intentions here are good here, because here one wants to take extra precaution for Allah's sake. One wants to abide with Allah's laws, and one is ready to put that extra endeavor by abiding by Allah's laws in reality, where one's actions be on a par with, you know, what the real halals and harams were. So it's a good thing to do. There's no problem there. But it's not an obligation to refrain from it. Okay? People, Sharia abiding, duty bound people, there are different degrees to their faith. Some people want to suffice with the minimum, that's okay. That doesn't mean they're bad people. It doesn't mean they're worse people. No. As long as they abided by the Sharia, that's a good thing. Some people want to make the extra effort. They want to make the extra effort before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's also very good. It may be better. But if that person, just because he or she makes that extra effort, if that leads them to, you know, enhance their ego, to judge others who don't want to follow this course of action and want to just follow a Salatul Hiliyah, and then they criticize them, they judge them, they backbite, they do this and that, well, that's no use whatsoever. I mean, we're not speaking about those kind of people. Those people who want to make the extra step in Allah's name, for Allah's sake, they want to make that extra step, they want to refrain from the mushtabahat, those things which are ambiguous. And in this case, this gelatin, it may be halal, it may be haram. The Sharia says, therefore, you can presume it to be halal and go and eat it. And they want to just make the extra step and say, okay, thank you, we like the Sharia, but also we want to go one step forward, also commanded to us by the traditions that we have in Islam, and we want to go the extra step and refrain from it anyway. I know that from a minimum point of view, the Sharia allows it, but I want to refrain. That's very good. Spirituality is a function of one's intentions. One's intentions here are holy or noble. But if these intentions of yours then makes you become nosy, fussy, criticizing others, backbiting, saying, oh, why is he having this? Why is he having that? No, that's no use whatsoever, though. That's spirituality destroying. So here, that's not... In general, though, it is better to refrain. But from a Sharia's point of view, you can consume it. There's no problem there. Now, here, one final point, just before I finish with this scenario, is that we have another principle, also extracted from the traditions and the texts, that says that the principle of presuming a meat being not slaughtered Islamically. Okay, it's... The as is called aslo adame tathkiya. You have to always presume that a given meat has not been slaughtered Islamically. Now here, the reason I'm mentioning this is this, that if you have, you encounter a certain meat, you can't here enforce or exercise the principle of presuming it to be halal. You can't presume this here, though, and then therefore just go ahead and consume the meat. That won't be allowed, because for asalatul hiliyah, the principle of presuming something to be halal, there has to be a doubt between at least two things, and then one of those two things has to be halal. You have to know that there's a possibility for it to be halal. Okay, but here, in the principle of it not being slaughtered Islamically, the presumption of something not being, is when you encounter one food and it's a meat. Now, you want to see whether you should, can we consume this given meat or not? Here, we can't presume that this is halal. Okay, therefore, here we exercise something called the presumption that it has not been slaughtered, and therefore in such a case you can't consume it. Whereas in the previous case, there was a given food, it was possible for it to be halal, the vegetative side. It did have an animal side. It did have a meat side, if you like. Okay, but this meat side wasn't alone. It, you know, in juxtaposition to it, there was another side to the equation, which was a halal vegetative dimension. Since we have two sides to this equation, and one of them is halal, the possibility, and the other possibility is of a haram type, there, a salatul hilya would be acceptable to exercise. But when you have one food, and you know this food, you're certain that this food is a meat of some form, okay? There, you can't presume it to be halal to consume. You have to exercise another principle. The principle of presuming something not being slaughtered. Now, this principle has to be exercised when the food you encounter, you know, is of animal origin. It's a meat of some kind. Now, I just mentioned that for completion's sake here. We don't use that in this scenario. We're going to use it a lot in other succeeding scenarios, inshallah. But here, the scenario is different. You encounter gelatin. Now you acquire a doubt whether it's a vegetative type or the animal, or if it's of animal origin. And therefore, there are two possibilities here. One you know is halal, the other would be haram. In such a case, asalatul hilya. You don't exercise asalatul adam tathkiyah. You don't exercise the principle of presuming it not to be slaughtered. It doesn't apply here. Because you have two alternatives. One of them is a vegetative halal dimension to it. And as long as one of the two alternatives is halal, you can presume it to be halal to consume. Inshallah, that was clear. We'll go through other scenarios, inshallah, in the next talk. And assuming there are any areas that you may still find difficult to understand or I haven't been able to convey it properly, feel free to email me. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala tahri.